Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, brand new day, y'all. Turn me up on the top a little bit, dawg. I want you to know, I want you to hear this one. Loud and clear, bright and early. Listen. I don't hate players, I don't love the game. I'm the shot clock, way above the game. To be point blank with you, motherfuck the game. I got all this work on me, I ain't come for play. You can show the little shorties how you pump and fake. But dog, not to death, I'm not impressed. I'm not amused, I'm not confused. I'm not the dude, I'm grown man minutes. I am not in school. Put your hand down, youngin', this is not for you. On my J.O. with beats by Kanye, yo. My name on the market, your name off the payroll. Sound fresh like I'm still a day old. And it's been like that since the day old. I'm on time with a rollie and Seiko. Step on deck, your neck, do what I say so. Get up or get out, get down or lay low. Standing in the shadow of a fabulous man. Brooklyn nigga, I am. That nigga, that dude. Black people, let's move. Shout out to my man Talib Kweli. Yes, we a topper, topper. Shotta, shotta, check it out. Slim nigga to cast a big shadow. Cherokee red to shoot the long arrow. Got more skill, more aim, and more ammo. You can get it all from a big or small barrel. Like Hail Mary, full of grace. Niggas come in and shoot up the place and make it pull up your face. The deck, I'ma pull out the ace. From the jungles of the Empire State, where ain't no escape. 247-718, and that's like every night, every day. From the place that I settle and stay, to the states I'm collecting my pay. Blast off, then I'm back to the K. Hold it down, so my family straight. Represent in a family way. Pro ball, not for amateur play. Been raw since the amateur stage. Before the press had the cameras raised. Like a long time handling away. You understand it? Straight. No doubt. Excellent. It's what it is, and that's what it is. See? Ha. Fire! Cause it is deeper, sweeter, richer, crisper. Stronger reception and sharper picture. Revolve around God and involve with niggas. These elements help evolve my scripture and make most deaf a classic modern figure. Brooklyn, it don't matter if you holler or whisper. You're coming through clear cause I'm right here with ya. Ain't gotta edit your slang, I got it, I get ya. Yo, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, the lovers, the leavers, the doubters, believers, the sayers, the quitters, the bitches, the niggas, rebel gorillas, the ghetto civilians. Y'all can feel it from the first to the millionth, it's extra. Ordinary and plain, I walk a thousand paces of light ahead of the game. By the time you get where I'm standing, I'll be gone. Y'all make moves, but y'all just move wrong. I move in and y'all must move on. Cause I move too strong, and I know what my feet move for. Make it go without a brand new car. I was fresh without a brand new song. I give a fuck about what brand you are. I'm concerned what type of man you are. What your principles and standards are. You understand me, y'all? Be good to your family, y'all. No matter where your families are, cause everybody need family, y'all. Raise a hand, you understand me, y'all. Everybody need family, y'all. Be good to your family, dawg. Understand. No matter where your families are, everybody need family, dawg. Raise your hand, you understand me, Paul. That's what it is. Oh man. Family of my family, Pistol P. My man too. All our loved ones behind the walls, all of those still in the struggle. Sada Mumia, Sundiata, Man Jamel, Life is Real, all the real soldiers, black people, family y'all. Let it be bright, let it be bright.
Have you made a lot of money out of your music?
Money? I mean, what is how much is a lot of money to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Have you made, say, millions of dollars?
No.
Are you a rich man?
What do you mean rich? What do you mean?
You have a lot of possessions? A lot of money in the bank?
Possession make you rich? I don't have that type of richness. My richness is life, forever.
Another picture. Look at the so-called Egyptian, the African, of Kemet, and his and her culture. Laced with gold, laced with silver and precious stone. The point I'm making is that you're from a rich culture, a rich past.
Life. We touch into your mind, body, and soul.
This is a homage beat.
Somehow we have bought into shoebox full of fallacies, and one of them is that it's all right to be poor.
Whenever you see people prospering, always rejoice and bless them in your heart. Always do that. And you see, you magnetize yourself for that good when you bless other people. But you know, if you have a jealous spirit, oh, look at that. Why should they have that when I've got so little? Yeah, because you operate your mouth against yourself. That's why. There's a verse of scripture also that says, thou art ensnared by the words of thy mouth. You know, the mouth can be a dangerous thing until you learn how to operate it positively. Some people are like a prosecuting attorney against themselves. Every time you think of something good, you talk yourself out of it. Yeah, but I know. I just know. I sure wish. No, but I can't. But oh, Lord, I sure wish. Thou art ensnared by the words of thy mouth. Don't do that.
That stems from your grand perennial group and my perennial group. The remarks that I heard so persistently was that all I want is just enough to get by. And then the one that my generation used was, how's it going, man? I made it.
Now that's another thing, and I want to warn you about this. You know, a lot of people are good at visualizing things for other people. Yeah, that's for Rockefeller. That's for those rich people. You'll pass by those mansions in Bel Air and Beverly Hills that look, this is where the rich people live. Look at that. That's for them. And you're really telling yourself, well, that's for them. I see them with it, but I don't see myself with it.
Making what? The standstill syndrome of hold on has been the banner of Black America since we were imprisoned in this country and culture. Survival was of the utmost importance. Just to live through was the theme of survival for the captured African.
Okay, if you can see it for other people, why can't you see it for yourself? I taught people to do this. Here's a little testing. That whenever you see people being, doing, and having good, always be glad for them. Always rejoice for them. And, you know, say good things about them in your mind. I said, look at that old rich so-and-so. The Bible says, curse not the rich. Reverend Ike says, if you curse the rich, you'll never be one of us.
It became a fixed mechanism in the pseudo-culture that the African was developing in this, quote, foreign land, unquote. How to survive, the need to survive, the whole syndrome of survival is a slave mentality syndrome.
I remember some years ago, I drove up to our place up in the mountains in Monterey overlooking the ocean, and my custodian at that time was a very fine gentleman who met me outside, and he saw that brand new mink silver gray and blue Rolls Royce Corniche. And he said to me, he says, "Oh, Reverend Ike," he said, "I saw this car in my visualization the other day." I said, "Yeah, but you made one mistake. You didn't see yourself with it." So I got it.
Prosperity is the correct concept for the African, where most of the wealth of the planet has been drawn from. Most of the gold, most of the silver, most of the diamonds, rubies, emeralds, pearls, Africa, that says the land from which we adhere is a rich land, a land flowing with milk and honey, that God's so-called chosen were sent to that land as a promised land.
And when you decide it, you've got to do what? Believe it.
Another picture. Look at the so-called Egyptian, the African of Kemet, and his and her culture. Laced with gold, laced with silver and precious stone. The point I'm making is that you're from a rich culture, a rich past. It's back here, the idea to be rich, to be prosperous, to be well-to-do. Okay? The illusion of poverty is just that. It is an illusion.
In this teaching, that would indicate, yes, law, meaning that you have an affirmative attitude toward the law, which works to bring you to the demonstration of the good that you believe.
In this cycle we are in of high dispensation, that includes wealth. You're supposed to get back something.
Surely God is able. Say that.
Surely God is able.
Say it again.
Surely God is able.
The third time.
Surely God is able.
And I like to make it so very personal and say it this way. Surely God in me is able. Say it again.
Surely God in me is able.
Spiritual prosperity includes material prosperity. It includes mental prosperity. It doesn't exclude anything. The masters who presented themselves to a given people renounced materiality because they were demonstrating spirituality. They didn't need to harness and sack up anything. They could have anything they wanted when they wanted it.
When you believe, nothing is impossible. So you got to believe.
That's real prosperity consciousness. To have what you need and want when you need it and when you want it. It is not having a large bank account. Because the bank owner might go off with your money. In your consciousness. That's where prosperity is.
See it! Let's hear it!
See it!
This deals with visualization.
We're not listening to whom we're supposed to be listening to. We're listening to the things that worry and trouble us. The things that confuse us occupy much of our mind. There's an answer for every question. There's a solution to every problem. Where is it? Inside.
It is important that you learn how to work in the theater of your mind. And I want to leave that term with you. Say, the theater of my mind.
There's no more God out here than there is in there. Now, I'm going to tell you something important, because see, somehow we don't think we're supposed to get rich unless we work and save our money. And that's a practical, good way to do so, and I'm not going to knock that. You know, as much as I dislike 8 hours a day, it's practical and it's significant, and it gives a sense of purpose and direction. Wealth is given. It is not earned.
I now enter into the theater of my mind and look upon the stage of my imagination. See, you've got it set there. And then I will say, I see myself. And then you describe yourself as you wish to be. So repeat this after me. I now enter the theater of my mind. And look upon the stage of my imagination. And
I see myself
as I wish to be.
While we sit here, somebody's getting rich. And I want you to think about that instead about somebody tricking you out of your check. Money is an idea. How many ideas can you contain? What is it that brings you your good?
Oh, there I am.
Oh, there I am.
Look how healthy I am.
Look how healthy I am.
Look how happy I am.
Listen to the way I'm laughing.
I'm just the exact weight that I want to be. Look at that. My dimensions are as I would have them to be. Just look at me. And look at all that money around. Ooh.
What are you passionate about? What is it that you really love with all your feeling? Can you transfer that to money? Yes, you can, if you want to.
So learn how to see yourself being, doing, and having the good that you desire. Enter the theater of your mind. Look upon the stage of your imagination and see yourself. And it's important that you see yourself being, doing, and having the good that you desire.
Systematically, this man kept trying to destroy everything that something was giving him. He was doing it to himself, not the white boy. He was doing it to himself. Very good. The power of the word, spoken word. And we need to control that fallacy. Huh? If we take words and throw them like daggers, they get results.
Yes, you got to see it. You remember Flip Wilson, the comic, who used to say, what you see, what you get. That's true. And the man who said to me, well, Reverend, I got saw this Rolls Royce Carnage in my visualization. He made the mistake. He didn't see himself with it. So, also when you see people with good, always say also, and when you pass those fine homes, fine cars, people are looking good, say, that's for me. Let me hear you say it.
That's for me.
Say it again.
That's for me.
See, bless it, bless them, and say, that's for me. That means that you include yourself in that idea of good.
Sometimes things are around. keep it locked. You're tuned in to the hottest radio network on the planet, Evolution Radio. You're listening to the new Evolution Radio Network, where the evolution is the revolution.
They don't want what we know out there. You'll never get this on CNBC. But our school system will never tell us that, because they're part of the process. Fake money, fake teachers, fake assets. I know the game of the rich. My rich dad taught me. You know it because you're the banker. The bankers and the rich play is different than what they teach you in school. All over the world, what does school teach you about money? And the answer is nothing. And that's not a mistake. That's not an accident. I knew that. Most people know that. The way to keep the poor and middle class working hard is never teach them what the rich know. So if you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which came out in 1997, it's what the rich teach their kids about money, the poor and middle class do not. Poverty hurts. I mean, I don't like it. And I don't like that our academic system's so corrupt. You know, we know the banking system's corrupt. We know politics is corrupt. But academics is just as corrupt.
I mean, one thing if it's the banking and the politics, but this is where we send our children, and we trust them to do the right things for them, and yet they're being not taught something so fundamental. Like you asked your dad when you were a kid, Dad, you asked your teacher, when are you going to teach us about money? And it was just...
Never.
Never.
And they'll never will. You know something. What do you know? Share it. What is financial education? It's not get a job, work hard, save money, and invest in a well-diversified portfolio of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs. The financial industry is two things, debt and taxes. 1971, Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard, and the U.S. dollar became debt. And we still tell kids to go to school, get a job, work hard, save money, and get out of debt. Now, who tells them to do that? That's the most ridiculous thing there is.
The book starts and it says, lie number one, saving money will make you rich.
Yeah, it never will. You know that.
All taught that as kids.
Why would you save it and why would you work for it if they can print it as faster than you can work for it? Why do you keep saving when they're printing it? The rich don't work for money. Don't you touch that stuff.
It's very subtle, right?
Yep.
They don't say, I'm going to train you to be a worker bee the rest of your life, but they educate you in a way where that's what you come out.
Right.
What else was he, what was he trying to do those first few months were you working for him? What was he trying to get across to you? Because he taught you the hard way about money.
And she says, if you're going to be successful in your life, you've got to find the best teachers. And a great teacher is somebody who comes from the inside, not the outside. But in school, you don't know if your instructor is for real or not. That's where the fake teacher comes from. I said, I want you to teach me about money. So it was, so why should I teach you? He says, but if I teach you, you work for me for free. And I said, why for free? And my dad, my poor dad went nuts. He says, because if I pay you, you think like an employee. Your brain will change. If you learn never to work for money, you'll be a rich man.
And this is powerful. Once you give someone a paycheck, their brain turns off.
Correct.
Because
and then the promise of a pension.
Right.
And job security.
Which is kind of a paycheck in disguise.
Correct.
After you stop working. Give the man a fish, eats for the day, teach him to fish, eats
correct.
For a lifetime. And most poor people confuse assets for liabilities. They think their home is an asset, it's actually a liability.
Right. An asset is a noun, like a house. Cash flow is a verb. So to understand if it's an asset or liability, it takes a noun plus verb. So if the cash is flowing out of your pocket, it's a liability. If the cash is flowing into your pocket, asset verb, it's an asset. So I own 7,000 rental properties. Those are assets. Every month, the cash flows in. Whereas many people have the big house on the hill and the cash is flowing out.
Right.
And they're going broke.
Right. It's like a frame of mind. The other thing the poor don't understand is the number one expense for most people is taxes. And yet we don't even see it. Isn't that weird? You walk around and you look at the paycheck and say, ah, that doesn't seem right. And you don't realize that the government's got a huge hand in your pocket, and you are doing nothing to minimize that. Again, this is what's very different about the rich and the poor.
The rich don't work for money. His number one expense is tax. See, there's three kinds of income: earned, portfolio, passive. So earned income is if I get a job, that's earned income. If I'm a doctor or a programmer, that's earned income, because I'm working for it. If I buy, let's say, Apple for $10 and I send it for $20, that's portfolio income, capital gains.
Yeah.
But passive income, which is cash flow, is never taxed. And so these guys are screaming right now in America, tax the rich. I said, good luck. Because most of the guys complaining, they don't know there's three kinds of income. And the rich don't have jobs anyway. They have assets. And so the average schmo out there, poor guy, you know, sent the kid to school, they don't learn this. You see, very few people will buy what I do, make $1 million and pay zero tax. And my rich dad taught me that playing Monopoly. That's how it started. You know, four green houses, one red hotel. Or the McDonald's formula. I write about it here. McDonald's, Ray Kroc.
Yeah.
McDonald's is in the real estate business. So they sell hamburgers, but they buy real estate, so they pay no taxes. You know, this guy Bezos, well, he's $16 billion. How much tax did they pay on that $16 billion? Zero.
And that's all legal. Anyone can do it.
Everybody can do
but
it.
But everyone, most people lack the education.
So once you learn how to use debt as money, you can never say, I can't afford it. See, because the banks will give you. So the banks, after the crash of 2008, the banks gave me $300 million tax-free. When I asked the average guy, I said, why don't you use debt? They can't even get a loan because their scores, their FICO scores, I don't know if you have them here, are so bad. The school teachers will never tell you that because they don't know it. My poor dad never knew that. You don't know if something is an asset or a liability until you can see which way the cash flows. So a house, is it an asset or a liability? Well, if it's taking money from your pocket, it's a liability. If it's putting money in your pocket, it's an asset. The U.S. government wants me to provide housing, wants me to provide jobs, wants me to borrow money, because that's how money is created, through debt. I get huge tax breaks. Everybody can do the same thing if they had the financial education to do it. If people understood the tax code, we'd be more prosperous.
But can poverty be passed through genetically?
Yes.
Because it's some type of way of thinking.
It's an attitude.
An attitude.
It's very simple. When people ask you, how do I stop it? I just say, never say, I can't afford it. Ask yourself, how can I? The reason I have so much money is because I don't say I can't do it. I just go, how can I do it? And I just go and do it. I make a lot of mistakes, but that's how I learn. How can I? But poor people, like my poor dad, always said, I can't afford it. You think I'm made of money? I'm a school teacher. I can't do that. And I picked that up. And my rich dad never said those words. So when I meet poor people, they use the words, I can't, a lot. So the people that say, I can't afford it, I can't do this, I can't get to college, the rich are evil, you know, I choose not to participate in that.
And that's one thing people could change today.
Correct.
Right now, is that dialogue in their head. Stop saying the word can't.
I can't.
Right.
So how can I?
How can I? Especially as in, I can't afford it, how can I afford that?
Right.
Because that opens them up to looking at it as an investment to a greater future.
Right. You know, when I borrowed $300 million, I couldn't do it until I went to ask. And I got turned down so many times. I said, you know, and every time I show the bank of my financials and they go, sorry, I said, look, do me a favor. Why did you turn me down? And he told me, this is out, the numbers are out here. So if I said, I get these numbers fixed, can I come see you again? He goes, sure. So it's called rejection. The same as my wife rejected me for 6 months. It's just a matter of personal willpower, which is spiritual. Just saying, if they can do it, I can do it.
And how can I?
How can I?
And I think it's you once said, words become flesh.
Yep. It was the Bible too. Intelligence increases through your mistakes, through the ups and downs, through what you learn. Real estate's real estate, but what I learned made me richer, not the money. You don't need money to make money. You know, I think all of us, every human being has that low point in their life. And if they get the message a new life begins. If they don't get the message, they keep going down. The richer I got was because I didn't need any money. I could use this to make money. But how did I get there is I made a lot of mistakes. People are afraid of making mistakes and all this, fear of failing. It limits them. Nice, nice, so very nice. So many people trapped in the same device.
And you were able to overcome where you grew up, as you once put it. You saw what happened and things like drug dealing,
yeah.
where the life would end, and you decided at some point, I'm not going there.
Yeah, just, I mean, you know, those sort of decisions that happen in, you know, many of our lives, you know, when we're faced with that, those fork, you know, the fork in the road moments, you know, and I was around people and I was seeing people, really genuinely nice people going away for 13 years and, you know, all these, you know, unjust and Rockefeller laws. And, you know, I was just around that so much that I would just told myself, man, I have to make a decision at some point. And, you know, I made this decision to, you know, focus on music, which was my love, you know, and it worked out.
Consistency. You know, people have a love of music. They may do one or two or three albums, and then for some reason they fade away. That hasn't happened to you.
I think, again, it goes back to a bit of what Warren was saying as well. Like, it's the discipline as well, the discipline to not get caught up in the moment. You know, music is like stocks, too. You know, there's the hot thing of the moment. You know, there's this hot electro sound or the hot auto-tuned voice or the hot whatever's new and exciting. And, you know, people tend to make emotional decisions based on that. They don't stick with what they know. This is who I am. This is, you know, this is what I do. And then they, you know, jump on this next hot thing and, you know, it's not for you. So for me, just having the discipline and having the confidence that and who I am, you know, and if I go into a studio and if I find my truth of the moment, there are a number of people in the world that can relate to what I'm saying and it's going to buy into what I'm doing. You know, not because it's the new thing of the moment, but because it's my genuine emotions. It's how I feel. It's how I articulate the world. And, you know, just having the discipline to just, you know, be yourself.
As you once said, as an artist, you are fighting against everything that's new and everyone's fascinations with new things.
Yeah, shiny things.
And
people fall in love with shiny things.
So in essence, as you grow older, you bring an audience with you because the
right.
topic of your music grows with you.
Right, right.
So
I mean,
never stays, doesn't go stale.
Yeah, because for hip hop is like 30 years old. Like hip hop is fairly a new genre of music, so we've never seen the maturation of hip hop, you know, in this sort of way. It's never happened before. You know, people would get a certain age and still try to pinpoint this, you know, young demographic because hip-hop was a young man's sport. But, you know, people that listen to hip-hop when they're 18, they still don't like hip-hop when they're 28. It's just that the voices in hip-hop are not speaking directly to them anymore. Weren't. You know, they weren't. They were speaking to a 18-year-old demographic. You know, so, you know, you're 28, you don't have anything to listen to because no one's relating to you. So, you know, my whole thing was, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm just going to make, you know, the music that I love to make and that I want to make, and I'm going to mature with my music, and, you know, luckily for me, it was the right decision.
When did you realize that not only did you have this ability with music and not to get stale, but recognize, too, you have to be treated also, even though you love it, as a business so that you don't end up, as so many do, they lose everything they have. They're an affected denture to companies, and they're not masters of their fate.
Yeah, that was the greatest trick in music that people ever pulled off, is to convince artists that you can't be an artist and make money. I think the people that were making millions actually set that. I think they set that whole thing up. You know, it was almost like shameful, like especially in rock and roll. You had to pretend that, you know, you got these millionaire guys who had to pretend as if they weren't successful at all, or it would be like a detriment to their career. You know, hip-hop from the beginning, you know, just it was always been aspirational. You know, just always broke that thing. You know, that thing that an artist can't think as well. And I think at the end of the day, as long as you, when you separate the two and you're not making music with business in mind, because you at some point you have, it has to be real when they touch it, when they listen to it. You know, something has to resonate with them that's real. As long as you, when you're in the studio, you're an artist, you make music, and then after you finish, you market it to the world, I don't think anything is wrong with that. In fact, I know there's nothing wrong with that.
So how, going right from the very beginning, you learned about the business of music because you couldn't.
Well, we were forced in the beginning. I wish I could say we were geniuses and said we're going to start our own company. You know, that's not what happened. You know, in the beginning, we went to every single label, and every single label shut their door on us. The genius thing that we did was we didn't give up. We didn't say, because these guys, you know, we used that what do they know approach. You know, we didn't give up at that point. I think that, you know, that was the genius thing we did. We started selling our own CDs, and we built our own buzz, and then the record company came back to us. So now we had a different negotiation. You know, it wasn't the same artist label relationship. Now we retain ownership in our own company, and it was the best thing for us, you know.
Well, one of the things you did fairly recently was about 3 years ago. You were with a company, you were president of a company, you saw firsthand what you thought was wrong with the music business, you wanted out, and you're willing to put money to get yourself out.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily want out. I wanted to work with them, but I wanted like a fund in a sense.
You're a president of the company.
Yeah, I was the president of Def Jam Records, and I wanted a fund to, you know, I wanted to work there.
But I wanted the fund to. What struck you is they'd take all these artists, almost like throwing them against the wall, so you see which ones would stick. You thought that was a huge waste of money.
Yeah, in the music business for a long time, a hit record solved all your problems because there wasn't the internet and there wasn't this YouTube and there wasn't so many other factors. It was just the music. So that model still exists of, you know, just putting artists out and see what works, you know. And as the machine stopped moving faster, a lot of things got lost in the process. You know, A&R and letting the artist development, you know. So it got to a point we were, as a music business, we were releasing hundreds and hundreds of albums every year, and, you know, the percentages was, like, really low, like 56 albums and 4 artists work, or, you know, something like that. So I wanted to bring, you know, the entire culture into it. I wanted a fund so I could do other things aside from signing artists, like, you know, buy a television station or buy a club that, you know, we can develop these artists in, or, you know, buy some headphones. You know, it's just all these different things I wanted to do, and I don't think at that time, you know, they could really get their mind around it. It's not something they were willing to do. And, you know, I just felt like I would be a waste there. So, you know, I started my own thing, Rock Nation, and, you know, that's what we do. We pretty much, we have everything from, it's a publishing company, you know, we have writers, you know, it's a recording company, we have, it's a touring company, it's,
Did you have sleepless nights when you put, what was it, $5 million to buy out the your last contract for an album?
Yeah, at the end of that, my Def Jam, very much so. I even have a better story for you. My last year of Def Jam, you know, when I proposed this and it didn't work, you know, I went over to sign with a group called Live Nation and made Rock Nation, but that was me as a businessman. As an artist, I still had one album left with Def Jam and Universal. And I went to Doug Morris and, you know, L.A. Reid, who was the chairman of Def Jam at the time. You know, he did a great thing for me. He allowed me to you know, walk in and have the conversation with Doug. And Doug, you know, we had a fantastic relationship, so it was very cool. But I bought my last album back. And what people don't know about is the day I flew in from Hawaii, I was doing some recording, and I had an iPod in my pocket, and I was on a commercial flight coming from Hawaii to New York, and I had on jogging pants, and my iPod with all the music that I recorded was missing. It was on a plane somewhere. So I had to walk into the office the next day and buy an album back that might leak the next day. So every day I would wake up and be like, I would check all the internet places and everywhere and be like, for like 3 months. But at the end of the day, up out of there.
I can't trust these niggas, they be switching sides. Trapping in the van up with your bitches side. Money new, hunters blue, I just spent a dime. Me and you are not the same, we on a different time. Me and you are not the same, we on a different time. Me and you are not the same, we on a different time. Try and lie me when you find me, better grip your knife. But tough Felipe Aviani, we on a different time.
Had to hustle and rob, they ain't leave me a choice. This can't be life, Jay-Z and Bean's voice. Never had a 9-to-5, I ain't believing that. So the block is where I decided I'm eating that. The staircase is where the fiends used to meet me at. Police searching me, looking for work, but I was cheeking at. Was on that block every night, getting to that bag. Wanted that Gucci and Versace shit Biggie had. Cooking that cocaine till it turned hard. I'm living in hell, still believing in God. I got faith like I'm Frank Wright. Thieves don't want that work if it ain't right. Niggas don't want you coming up if they ain't eating. The block jumping, I'm out here, I ain't leaving. I'm popping, I ain't one of these lame niggas. Me and Carmelo Anthony fucking the same stripper. Going hand in hand is what made me a boss. I know how to bounce back after taking the loss. See tough guys turning the bitches in court. Judge made them realize they ain't as tough as they thought. Bodies done dropped for this money I got. I earned these diamonds that I got in my watch. I earned these diamonds that I got in my chain. I treated myself for putting in all of that pain. I can't trust these niggas, they be switching sides. Trapping in the van up with your bitches side. Money new, hunters blue, I just spent a dime. Me and you are not the same, we on a different time. Me and you are not the same, we on a different time. Me and you are not the same, we on a different time. Try and lie me when you find me, better grip your knife. But that Felipe Aviani, we on a different time.
I just wanna open this up, telling y'all I'm opening up. I wanna be able to smell it before I open it up. That shit ain't potent enough, I be plotting low in the cut. Looking at the TV like that's supposed to be us. But who am I to blame, I'm still a student of the game. I maneuvered out the rain and brought my shooters when I came. Yeah, I need a bitch that's a down one. When them pounds come, make this out of town run. Don't lead till your round's done. Time to time I still chop it up with the old heads. They told me how most niggas snitch when you go fast. Told me to switch the hustle to flow dead. My brother Pop died and flow dead. You ain't quote dead. Times I still wish I had a brick for the coke heads. Pull up with a mountain of snow and tell them go sled. Remember Halloween's back when we used to throw eggs. Stealing mopeds, gave a fuck what the Pope said. Nigga, which one you happen to pick? Judged by 12 or carried by 6. Granddad said be careful with the drugs, don't let them defeat you. I said I don't do the drugs, I just tell them the people. He told me it's cold love when you going up. Couple niggas come through and see how you holding up. Bitches on your cell wall that you was holding up. Give it some time, them packages and them bitches start flowing up.
I can't trust these niggas, they be switching sides. Trapping in the van up with your bitches side. Money new, hunters blue, I just spent a dime. Me and you are not the same, we on a different time. Me and you are not the same, we on a different time. Me and you are not the same, we on a different time. Try and lie me when you find me, better grip your knife. But that Felipe Aviani, we on a different time.
Woo! Don't even think about changing the station. You're listening to The Bottom Line with your host, Joey L.
Nobody has done more for the black community than Donald Trump. And if you look, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln, possible exception, but the exception of Abraham Lincoln, nobody has done what I've done. Criminal justice reform, Obama and Joe didn't do it. I don't even think they tried because they had no chance at doing it. They might have wanted to do it, but if you had to see the arms I had to twist to get that done, it was not a pretty picture, and everybody knows it, including some very liberal people that cried in my office. They cried in the Oval Office. It makes me sad because I am the least racist person. I can't even see the audience because it's so dark, but I don't care who's in the audience. I'm the least racist person in this room.
Okay. Vice President Biden, Abraham, let me ask you very quickly, and then I have a follow-up question for you.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire, every single one. Started off his campaign coming down the escalator saying he's going to get rid of those Mexican rapists. He's banned Muslims because they're Muslims. He has moved around and made everything worse across the board. He says about the poor boys, last time we were on stage here, he said, I told him to stand down and stand ready. Come on. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn.
President Trump, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to respond, and then I have a follow-up.
He made a reference to Abraham Lincoln. Where did that come in? I mean,
you said you're Abraham Lincoln.
No, where did that? No.
I said
not since Abraham Lincoln has anybody done what I've done for the black community.
And I'm saying,
I didn't say I'm Abraham Lincoln. I said not since Abraham Lincoln has anybody done what I've done for the black community. Now, you have done nothing other than the crime bill, which put tens of thousands of black men, mostly, in jail.
All right,
They remember it because if you look at what's happening with the voting right now,
let me ask
they remember
President
that
Biden
you treated them very, very badly.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after these messages on Evolution Radio.
Hello? Okay, good. So as the chemical of emotion wane, the cells will go into a period of chemical withdrawal. This will stimulate the brain to produce more molecules of emotion, and the cells will carry out the corresponding behavior to concentrate the chemicals in the tissues. This is known as emotionalism, which creates drama. No, I'm serious. You have to understand that drama is a biological created activity because the chemistry of that emotion is dwindling in that person's body. And so therefore, to keep that chemistry at the level that it's used to, it will stimulate the person to create drama. So you have to understand, this is a self-imposed chemical addiction to one's own emotions. And if that means that they are sabotaging things to solve this chemical imbalance in the body, they will do that. If it means that they have to create disharmony or create havoc, etc., it will happen over and over and over again. So these people don't need enablers that continuously support them through their high drama. They need to actually be treated and put into withdrawal and consult about how to be able to separate their sensations from a thought so they do not continuously create this chemistry. So you have to understand, this is a serious problem, because what I have observed about us as African Americans is that we have difficulty staying focused and participatory in an event because we allow our emotions, and now we've created these emotions because we have judged someone else's speech or someone else's behavior, to allow us to abandon the goal or the project. Over and over and over again. So I used to find it very interesting because Caucasians will make it very clear to each other, I really do not like you. However, if they are very clear that they need that person's skill or talent, that is inconsequential, and I will meet you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock so we can get busy on this project. And at 5 o'clock, don't speak to me again. So I've heard us rationalize that, oh, that's hypocritical, and just a whole bunch of other stuff, and how can they do that, and they shouldn't speak, and look at what they did. A whole bunch of chemical poisons and toxins that you have created in your mind. Because when the mind understands that we need certain skills and talents to be able to get a project done, we're not interested in how they look, what they say, what they may be doing, et cetera. We're interested, can they execute this particular activity to the extent that I'm going to get one step closer to the goal? And if the mind understands that, a healthy mind will ignore the rest of the activities and stay focused on the goal. This is critical. I mean, I have seen us talk about we're not speaking and whatever else, et cetera, and nothing gets done. Nothing. Over and over and over again. Because we are emotional addicts. We are not in control at all of our bodies. It is our emotions that are driving us. And so therefore, we have abandoned the project. Years go by, the same foolishness and nonsense, and we wonder why, what happened. And somebody else didn't do whatever they're supposed to do. No, it was you who would not control your mind and stay focused.
Throughout the land, to you piece of shit.
Let's first take a look at the ratification of the amendment, because this is a matter of controversy that got me into a lot of trouble for raising it in the Reconstruction chapter of my American history book. But I'm only repeating a totally mainstream interpretation. I found it hilarious. People never even heard of this before, the argument that the 14th Amendment was not constitutionally ratified. I mean, the old National Review used to just take this for granted. I mean, old conservative publications, libertarians, all understood this. In the 1950s, U.S. News and World Report published an editorial saying, of course we all know the 14th Amendment wasn't legitimately ratified. I mean, this was just sort of common knowledge. Now I say it today, and I get like Max Boot saying, oh my gosh, where did Woods get this crazy idea? Like I just invented it. Sort of funny. Well, let's look at what is the claim being made here. There are a few factors to take note of when we look at the ratification of the 14th Amendment. First, we have the fact that the amendment was proposed in Congress, and two-thirds of the people present voted to approve the amendment. And then it gets sent out to the states, and then three-quarters of the states have to ratify the amendment for it to take effect. Well, one thing we can note about the passage of the 14th Amendment is that it was not, shall we say, entirely without blemish. At the time that the amendment was set to be voted on and discussed, John P. Stockton was a newly elected senator from New Jersey, and he was known to be an opponent of the 14th Amendment. And he took his seat, duly took his seat in the U.S. Senate at the beginning of the 39th Congress. Well, informal canvassing of senators made quite clear that there was no two-thirds majority in favor of the amendment at that time. In fact, it turned out that the amendment would have been one vote short of passage. So, a motion was introduced not to seat John Stockton. But he's already been seated. This is the problem. He's already been seated. So you can't really vote not to seat somebody who has been seated. If he's been seated, and you want to get rid of him for one reason or another, you have to vote to expel him. But expulsion requires a two-thirds vote. They didn't have a two-thirds vote to expel it. So they voted not to seat somebody who had already been seated. Okay? I mean, it's sort of like, you know, how can something be both A and not A at the same time and in the same manner? So they voted not to seat this man who had already been seated. And then they went ahead and voted to approve the 14th Amendment. Now that's, you know, it's really not legal. It's right, not a proper procedure. But that's actually the least of the problems associated with the amendment. Then it goes out to the states. Now Tennessee ratifies the amendment. But here's how Tennessee ratified the amendment. The problem that was occurring in Tennessee was that opponents of the amendment were refusing to show up at the statehouse and thereby preventing a quorum. Okay, I mean, you have to have a certain minimum number of people present in order to conduct business. Well, opponents of the amendment thought one way to prevent its ratification is just not to show up, and then they wouldn't have a quorum. Well, in order to get a quorum, two of the anti-amendment Tennessee legislators were actually kidnapped and forcibly brought to the state house and declared to be present so that the vote could take place. Now, there are some sticklers, you know, who think that kidnapping is immoral. You know, who would throw, you know, some doubt on this, the legality of this. And the thing is that when the House Speaker called the roll, well, these two representatives refused to answer. They refused to say they were present, because in their mind, they weren't, you know, spiritually, they weren't present. They were only there, you know, under duress, I mean, really by force. So they refused to answer the roll, but nevertheless, they were declared present so that the amendment could be ratified. In Oregon, there was a situation that was at least as irregular as that one. In Oregon, you had a case where the legislature of Oregon voted on the amendment, and they voted to approve the amendment. But then it was discovered that two of the Republicans who had been elected in Oregon had actually not been legally elected. When they actually looked again at the votes, it turned out that Democrats had been elected in those two seats. So two Republicans were removed and replaced by two duly elected Democrats. So some people thought, well, we should re-vote on the amendment now that we have the legitimately elected people present. This time they voted not to approve the amendment. But they were told by the federal government, sorry, we take your first answer. Okay. New Jersey. Now, New Jersey and Ohio, the irregularities there are, it's not quite so clear cut. I mean, obviously in Oregon, there's no excuse for that. And in Tennessee, there's obviously no excusing that. New Jersey and Ohio is not quite so clear cut, but arguably there's at least some kind of irregularity here. Because both of these states rescinded their ratifications. And they rescinded them, though, before the amendment went into effect. It was still being voted on by other states. I mean, you could argue that if the amendment has already gone into effect and then you vote to rescind your ratification, it is probably too late. But arguably, they may at least have had some right to withdraw. But they were told once again, sorry, we take your first answer. And New Jersey in particular, at the time that they attempted to withdraw their ratification, they actually announced, they said that we are fearful that this amendment has been worded ambiguously with deliberate intent so that in the future it can be used to deprive us of our liberties. Very interesting. Well, the most fundamental reason, though, that there was an illegality involved here is that here you had the southern states, which they ratified the 13th Amendment in 1865, abolishing slavery. No one had any problem with them then. 1867 rolls along. The radical Republicans in Congress, who are the wing of the Republican Party who favor, you know, a very harsh settlement with the South, now that they're in power, in 1867, they declare other than Tennessee, they like Tennessee because Tennessee ratified the 14th Amendment, but other than Tennessee, the other former states of the Confederacy, the other 10 states, were declared in 1867 to be illegal, without legal governments. And they're going to be militarily occupied, they're going to be divided into five military districts, they're going to be deprived of self-government, they're going to have, in effect, military courts open. So that was all declared in 1867. That was said about the southern states. But at the same time, these same states were told, you have to ratify an amendment to the Constitution. Now they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, because either they're legal states or they're not. If they are legal states, then you shouldn't be occupying them with the military. If they're not legal states, then you can't ask them to ratify an amendment to the Constitution, because they're not legal states. I mean, you may as well ask France to ratify an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It would be perfectly irrelevant. So in other words, you're depriving them of all the privileges of statehood, but nevertheless, you're going to impose on them one of the burdens of statehood. You're going to actually demand that they ratify an amendment to the Constitution when you yourself have just said they're not even legal. The states, as constituted in the South, are not legal. So it's been argued that therefore their votes could not have counted. In no way could an illegal state, by definition, that vote for the amendment be counted as a vote in favor of the amendment. I mean, that's not to mention the coercion involved here. I mean, there was one congressman who said that when the 14th Amendment was sent out to the states, Tennessee approved it, but the other 10 southern Confederate states rejected it. It was a northern congressman who said, well, the southern states have rejected the 14th Amendment, so we're going to march upon them at bayonet point until they do ratify it. Well, most legal principles would have it that a decision that you're forced to make under duress is not legally binding. So we have that difficulty as well. And for these reasons and even several others, very recently, like early 1990s, Forrest MacDonald concluded that the 14th Amendment was never constitutionally
the mighty set Santana, what's up? More like a movement you need be in tune with. Killer of the Dawn, what's good?
Crack music, crack. Way before we was dropping knowledge on samples, we listen. Cutting raw when using bottles and samples. Few made it out, but I only recall a handful. Most got locked to turn the t-shirts to candles in a war zone where bodies pop up dead. Harlem. Big difference from the cops and the feds.
Check that out.
A big difference from the gun and drop head.
$100,000.
I told them use it as my casket if I drop dead.
Clean.
Money, power, respect is what the lock said.
Jada,
you showed
up?
A lot of lock and respect is what the cops said.
Fuck the cops.
Paparazzi flicks on the six page.
Click, click, click.
Grammy bunch with the 40s by the ribcage.
That's Jeff.
With my jacks, we want to be this like Big Dave.
R.I.P.
I've been buying rollies since a kid's age.
A ninth one.
4, 5, 6, top in the 7 series.
Thanks,
now. With drop top shit, I can see having clean.
Pray for me.
Try to put them on the game, but they never hear me.
Stupid.
Maybe a text is the closest that you're getting near me. Shit, cause life is so ferocious that it's getting scary. It's hard to stay focused, my eyes are getting teary.
Optimus, what up, nigga?
Diplomatic immunity.
Hey, yo, Capo, what up, man?
Immunity.
Wait, talent shit, huh?
Immunity.
Shit, almost got diplomatic immunity.
Yes.
After I fuck all these girls wanna spoon with me. Come get into me. I'm shining like the sun and girl, you looking like the moon to
yes,
me.
Yes, you are.
Your man a goon, he's scared to be in the room with
that's
me.
That's
detrimental.
Sure is.
I don't deal with anything that's sentimental. Had cocaine in the rental.
Hey,
nothing sweet, but all my sweets are presidential.
Yep.
Dead presidents, I'm done with residential.
What's that?
What I mean, man, I bought my own zip code.
Oh.
Leave me alone, I go flip mode.
What's
don't
that?
Care if you black with a big nose, white with pig toes, just how the shit goes. The kid with the sick flow. Jewelry, got Bruce Leroy, slash Slick Rick Glow. Fuck is you, Negro?
Negro,
crazy.
Diplomatic immunity.
Do you know what the fifth is?
Yes, Father, I know what the fifth is. The fifth is I refuse to answer on the grounds that I'm not a criminal.
The fifth commandment.
Thou shalt not kill.
That's right. Now I want you to tell me what happened.
No, Father. I'm not telling nobody nothing.
Don't be afraid, my son. Nobody's more powerful than God.
I don't know about that, Father. Your guy's bigger than my guy up there. But my guy's bigger than your guy down here.
All right, peace to the gods. What's going on? Welcome to the show. Right here on the bottom line, I'm your host, Joey Bouncer Obey. Call the number is 347-989-0194. If you are in the chat, you want to get in and holler at me, you can press 1 to get in. All right, and we'll get you in on the line. I'd like to welcome you to the show. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about bonds. We're going to go into the idea of securities, very important topic, if you will. And all right, we'll turn it down a little bit. All right, very important topic we're gonna go into tonight. I want to welcome you. You can get in and holler at me. Make sure that you press the number 1 if you need to set up a consultation or any products that you may need. You can visit the website makemorecommerce.com. I've got a webinar coming up. If you want to get on it, it's going to be next month on the 22nd. All right, we're going to be going into constitutional challenges and how to deal with the court procedure. All right, so I'll be talking about that next month if you've got any questions on it. All right, we'll look at different constitutions and how they can be used, things of that nature. And we'll also be redoing the treaty webinar, which I'll have a more solidified date for that as well coming soon. But the 22nd is going to be when we're going to be doing the webinar, and that's the 22nd of May, which is a Saturday. It's at 3 p.m. All right. So you can make sure that you sign up for that, makemorecommerce.com. Seats are only $150 for that webinar. All right. So look forward to having some people on there. We'll get some good information out. All right. So with that being said, let's get into it. You know, I wanted to talk tonight about the idea of bonds and bonding and securities and things of that nature, right? And it's one of those things where, you know, we have to discuss it, you know, from a perspective of understanding, number one, what sovereignty is and what sovereign banks are and what sovereign entities are and who can actually do bonds and securities. Okay. Now, under Rule 144A, okay, it's the exchange of private securities, okay? And, you know, when we say private, it just sounds just like it means. It's private entities, private people. Private's private. Okay, so Rule 144A of the Exchange Commission basically deals with the restrictions on trades and deals with privately placed securities so that investments can be traded on some type of stock exchange, stock market. Okay, you have what they call qualified institutional buyers, right? And these are the people who buy the securities. And securities are also known as paper, by the way. So these are what they call shorter holding periods, right? And sometimes they're longer holding periods. It just depends, right? And a lot of times this is where a lot of people don't understand what human capital is and things of that nature, right? And how people become chattel, right? Chattel property, things of that nature, right? And this is why it's important to do the things like your trust and to lean yourself up, right? You know, and if nothing else, authenticate your birth certificate, right? At least own the property that is inherent to you, okay? And everything else is kind of secondary from there. But these are privately placed securities. And so the idea of securities backed by, you know, people, you know, is an idea that a lot of people will easily dismiss, right? But then there's the notion, and this comes from your secure party creditor community, which I am not a part of, but there's the notion that your birth certificate is worth millions and millions of dollars, okay? And unfortunately, I want to tell you that that's not true, okay? I actually want to clarify that, right? The birth certificate, especially when it's authenticated, it gives you what's known as full faith and credit, right? So stop thinking of everything in the term of a dollar, right? Everybody has credit. Everybody has full faith, if you will, right? And some people get that shit taken away depending upon, you know, how they're moving and things like that. But full faith and credit is just what it sounds like. It's the ability, okay, under the Constitution, okay, which is basically, you know, it's a trust and venture in itself, but it's the ability for states within the United States to have, if you will, some type of recognition, right, of the public acts, the records, the judicial proceedings, you know, the acts of Congress, okay, the treaties, the constitutions, if you will, right? But it's the ability for credit to be given to all of those things. So before, and I'll pull it up here so that we can have a full preview of it. But it's the understanding that the Constitution focuses on creating the federal government, right? But it defines, okay, what they call checks and balances, right? So understanding that are checks and balances in place. So this way, as a giver, if you will, right, to allow public officials to do their duties, you are given in exchange some form of full faith and credit. Right? This is why it's given to institutions, it's given to organizations like banks, it's even given to people. Okay? There's your full faith and credit. Now, one of the things that people don't talk about a lot is the fact that there's a term called ABS. And ABS is what asset-backed security. So asset-backed security is a type of financial instrument, and it's collateralized under a pool of assets. Okay, so the birth certificate ideally is thought to be an asset-backed security, right? But what people fail to realize is that, yeah, they're somewhere down that rabbit hole. You can, you know, you can cash out somewhere, right? But the birth certificate, right off the bat, is a security. It's a bond. It's an agreement. Hell, it's even put on bond paper. But one of the things about it, right, is that it is an asset-backed security, so it's been pooled with a whole bunch of other birth certificates, right, in order to help create things like treasury bonds and things of that nature, right, on an international level, which then on a national level gives the people who gave the credit full faith and credit, right? So you are the creditor, okay? So when we deal with asset-backed securities, right, these are usually assets that generate some type of cash from the flow of a debt, right, such as a loan, leases, credit card balances, receivables, right? So this takes the form of a bond or a note. And then it pays the income at some type of fixed rate or a set amount of time until there's maturity. So when you see people who actually end up getting locked up and things like that, those are also what they call bonds. That's why they have a maturity date or a release date, okay? Things of that nature. So when we're dealing with things like this, right, and specifically when we're dealing with securities, it's important to understand what you're getting into, right, before you start trying to, you know, cash a birth certificate in or think that you're going to get millions of dollars off of something, right? Because you have to realize, number one, you didn't create that security, okay? So asset-backed securities essentially allow issuers to raise cash, right? They can be used for lending, investment purposes, whatever it is. So the underlying asset of an asset-backed security is generally something that's illiquid, okay? It means that it can't be sold on its own. So they pull it together, right? And they create a process called securitization. So securitization comes in. It allows the issuer to make illiquid assets marketable to investors, okay? So it allows them to get shakier assets off their books, thus alleviating a credit risk, right? This is why AAA credit is so important. I got AAA, okay? Got AAA credit, and I got AAA insurance, right? So the underlying asset of these pools, right, it can be home equity loans, they can be your automobile loans, they can be your credit card receivables, they can be your student loans, or some type of expected cash flow, right? So anybody that issues an asset-backed security generally, right, can be as a creative desire, right, and a desire to do something. So for example, right, asset-backed securities have they've been used for movie revenues, music royalty payments, landing strips for aircrafts, your bridges, okay? If you live in Florida, they got tolls everywhere, okay? They can be used for solar projects. They can be used to create the roads. They can be used to do stuff in the community, right? So asset-backed securities can be used for all types of stuff, and they're used every day, right? And I want you to think of this in the form of the general obligation bond, right? So, and the general obligation bond, pretty interesting thing, right? Because these are collateralized loan obligations, right? So you may ask, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that a state or something that would be considered some type of sovereign entity, right, has the ability to create a taxing power. Okay, so the taxing power essentially allows for this particular entity to issue things like parking tickets. They can issue things like, you know, writs saying that you gotta pay insurance or register your car, any of that type of stuff, right? And as a result of you paying for those services from that particular entity, right, the general obligation bond is then paid off. Okay. So when we're talking about, and I'm, you know, my point on this tonight is so that you guys can have a better understanding of the fact that when you're dealing in this realm, right, of instruments and writing promissory notes and stuff like that, you still got regulations that you got to deal with. You still got rules that you got to follow, right? The UCC is important. If you, you know, if you was on Jonah's webinar that he did last week, I think it was about a week or two ago, right? It was last week, yeah. If you was on that webinar, then you would understand the whole purpose of the promissory note, right? So anybody that invests, right, typically in what we call ABS or asset-backed securities, right, there's a wide variety of generating assets that can be made, right? And so stuff is done on the public side and the private side. So this is why you can invest in stuff like municipal bonds. Like, you can even invest in private bonds, okay? All of this stuff creates some type of security. So when we talk about securitization, right, of assets, one of the biggest assets that the United States hold are what they call mortgage-backed securities, okay, and collateralized debt obligations that can be considered as asset-backed securities. Okay, now, when they pull these securities together, right, typically this creates the securitization and it allows them to be able to take it into a market and go a little bit bigger. Now, it's generally accepted that an asset-backed security market first began with computer transactions and, you know, small companies and stuff like that, right? But it typically grew over time, right? And it's a way to be able to create money out of thin air when there is no money, right? So it's actually a pretty cool scenario how it works, okay? Now, usually an asset-backed security will have three tranches, right? We call them Class A's, Class B's, or Class C's. So a senior tranche, A, is almost always the largest tranche, and it's structured to have an investment-grade rating to make it attractive, right? So investment-grade ratings basically say, hey, listen, you know, this is grade A paper. So when you hear that term grade A, right, it's typically what it refers to, okay? And for those who don't know what a tranche is, a tranche typically is where, and I'll just take you from the example of, you know, we were talking about a municipality or something of that nature. The municipality might borrow something like $30 million, right? So out of the $30 million, the first tranche might release $8 million, right? So they release it over time. It's not all released at once, okay? So these are typically how asset-backed securities work, okay? Now, securitization is a process in which financial assets are sold to what they call a SPV, or a special purpose vehicle, from the originator of the asset. So assets are securitized primarily in the form of loans and leases. So you can think of your student loan as an asset, maybe not to you, but to the person who loaned you the money to go to school. So remember, they never actually really give you the money. Your school gets the money, right? Or they get the credit, which they collateralize, okay? And they use it against their own books. And then you can apply some of that money to your account balance, and whatever's left, they normally give you out of a reserve fund, right? So the use of a special purpose vehicle, right? It deals with receivables, financial obligations, utilities, whatever you want to call it. So a special purpose vehicle in securitization is a critical step because the assets normally are isolated, right? And when they're isolated, normally this is this keeps stuff like bankruptcy from happening, right? When we talk about isolation, okay? So a majority of the asset-backed securities that are sold have what we call the AAA rating. So this is what I'm talking about when I say AAA, right? And this is what makes shit sell, because it's got AAA ratings. Okay, see, a lot of people don't understand how this stuff connects to you, right? That's why, you know, people want you to have insurance and stuff like that, and it's really beneficial to own your own bank. Now, let me tell you why it's beneficial to own your own bank, because then you create your own asset-backed securities. Now, one of the things that I think is really interesting when we talk about full faith and credit, right, is that it's given to all authenticated entities, okay? But in order to operate, right, in business, especially in the public realm, right, you have to have what's called a charter, okay? So the charter is a written instrument or a contract, such as a deed or an executed deed, right, in due form, right, which deals with a grant or guarantee of rights. It deals with the franchise. It deals with the privileges of the sovereign, okay? It deals with the privileges of the sovereign power, the sovereign man or woman, the sovereign state or the sovereign country. And normally a sovereign man or woman technically is considered a sovereign state, okay? Which means that that entity is supposed to control its own funds, okay? And this is where you get shit like credit enhancement and stuff from, all right? Now, if you, you know, I'm going to read an act tonight that I found it to be pretty interesting, right? But, you know, under the Constitution, right? And I'll just read it here, right? Because it talks about full faith and credit. And it says that it addresses the duties that states within the United States have respect to the public acts, the records, and the judicial proceedings of every other state. Okay, now hold on a second. There we go. Sorry, I have to turn the music down a little bit. So it deals with the full faith and credit clause. It deals with the proceedings of the state. So according to the Supreme Court, there's a difference between the credit that's owed to laws, right? I.e. the legislative measures, common law, as compared to the credit owed to judgments. So judgments are generally entitled to a greater respect than the laws in other states. So at present, right, it's widely agreed that this clause of the Constitution has a minimal impact on the court's choice of law, provided that no state sovereignty is infringed on. You see, so you can't infringe on the sovereignty of any entity, okay, when using the full faith and credit clause. Okay, now what's really, really, you know, interesting to me is how when we talk about sovereign things like this, people don't understand that there are other types of sovereigns. You have sovereign loans, you have debt means, right, which are basically incurred by governments. Okay, you have bonds that are issued in foreign currencies, and then they're sold to sovereign investors. Okay, so a sovereign loan is a loan that's made by a financial institution or a government, often to an emerging nation, right? Okay, so understand that the United States is always dealing with loans and bonds and, you know, sovereign loans. I want you to think of it like this. Every time that you took out a PPP, you were taking out a loan from a sovereign entity, right? And this is why you have to be really careful about how you intermingle and mix and do certain things, right? I mean, if you want to take a loan out from the government, that's completely your choice. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But there are other ways that you can contract with the government, right, to meet your means. You understand? They have plenty of grant programs, right? They got plenty of programs for LLCs, unincorporated, religious organizations, you name it, right, where, you know, they're giving out money, right, on a grant basis. And then you have certain parts of it where they're giving out sovereign money in the form of what? Form of contracts. So then they say, okay, well, not everybody wants to be up under our shit, so why don't we just contract with people, right? And it's a smart way to go when you're dealing with the government, right? And a lot of people don't understand what contracting really is, okay? And if you take some time and dig into contracts, I would definitely advise that you do that so you can get a better understanding of how contracts apply to the whole idea of asset-backed securities, all right? Because that's all it is. The birth certificate, that's really all it is. It's a security. It's a contract. It's an agreement, right? you just became party to it. And then you got thrown in the pool, the old swimming pool, right? So, see, a sovereign debt or a sovereign loan is not owned by a country citizen, but it's owned by the government, you see? So it's not considered a national debt, and the money that is obtained is at the discretion of the borrowing government. This is why the government gives you full faith and credit, okay? Now, we're going to take a real quick break because I need to get me some water. If you want to holler at me, call lines are open. All right. We got a little bit more left, and I'll keep dropping it. I'll get to my point today. But hopefully y'all are understanding that when you're dealing with bonds and securities and security agreements and things like that, promissory notes, right, everything has to be collateralized and securitized. So, yeah, you can write me or you can write a promissory note all day long. But who's going to securitize it? And it's got to be based on what? The fact that you don't infringe on the sovereign's rights. Okay. What up? Peace to the gods. Peace to everybody in the chat. All right. So I'm going to take a real quick break. We're going to keep diving into this. Asset-backed securities, man. That's what it's about, right? You know, and, you know, understand what I'm talking about tonight. It's not something that you can't find out about, right? It's not illegal or unlawful, right? It's completely within the realm of what's done in everyday banking. Every time you take a dollar to the bank and you deposit it in the bank, you deposited some form of a security into the bank or an obligation to the bank. The bank collateralizes it. They use that particular debt to increase their own financial wealth, right? And then they give you a little percentage off of it. Okay, because banks got AAA ratings and stuff like that, right? So they're glad to take your money to open up an account. That account means money for them, right? And this is what I'm saying. I'm not in the business of fucking with other people's money. I'm in the business of making money, right, with my own money, right, and growing. And that's generally how commerce works, right? Now, banks are in the business of making money off their own money and other people's money. But if you're going to be a bank, if you're going to operate like a sovereign bank, right, then you must know the rules. All right? So we'll be right back. Take a quick break. And call lines wide open. Press 1 if you want to holler at me. Peace to the gods.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much, feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man. Not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. To make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. A decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
All right, peace to the gods. We back. All right, peace to the gods. We back. If you're just now joining us, make sure you press the number one if you want to get in. Got a webinar coming up next month. If you want to get in, we're going to be going over constitutional challenges in the court process and how to work your way through that, all right, if you're dealing with that issue. All right. It's a private webinar. It's on May the 22nd. Webinar price is $150. You can register at makemorecommerce.com. If you have to become a member, all right, to register, all right, it's part of how we do things over there. But we welcome you to come join us and come get some of that information. All right, we expect it to be about a two-hour webinar. All right, documents are included. All right, so let's get back to what we're talking about tonight, right? And I want to bring a few things to your attention before I open the call lines up, right? So when we're talking about securities and bonds and things like that, I want you to remember that your student loans, right, are asset-backed securities, right? And, you know, one of the things that
we talk about here is the credit enhancement of it, right? AAA credit and having AA credit, and they do what's called credit default swaps, right? So a lot of times, you know, they'll swap credit, right? And I've seen this happen. Matter of fact, I actually reported my own birth certificate being stolen at one point in time, you know, and it was swapped out, and I couldn't figure out why. Well, now I have a better understanding of why, right? And, you know, believe me, you know, it was some bullshit, and I had to go get my shit, you know, get my shit right, right, and fix all of that, right? But you cannot credit default swap without somebody's express consent, okay? It's illegal to do that shit. It's unlawful, right? And this is why, you know, I'm always, you know, I'll be the guy who's going to tell you, you know, stay on the right side of shit, right? Because it's not worth the problems that you could have in the long run, right? I mean, you know, there's a ton of rules to this thing. If you stay on the right course and the right track with this information, right, you can be successful with it, right? You can deal with credit and credit rating and securities and all of that, right? Now, one of the oldest and most active securitization methods, right, is the auto loan, okay? So when we talk about asset-backed securities, right, the market primarily based on auto loans, right, what they call prime quality borrowers, right? So prime quality borrowers are people with good credit, right, who come in and borrow some money and they get an auto loan, okay? So bank lenders deal with finance companies. They deal with what they call subprime lenders. So when you're dealing with mortgages, it's the same thing, right? Subprime mortgage lenders and all that, right? So the auto finance sector, right, they deal with a lot of consolidation. So the moment you buy a car, technically the car is already paid off. Okay. Now, I'm going to just give you a couple of different things here, right? So your student loans are asset-backed securities, right? They became the largest individual sector of the asset-backed security market in the fourth quarter, 2010. They had $248 billion, right? So the amount was compared with $127 billion for auto loans, right? So you can get the idea of how many more people are taking out loans for school versus buying a car, right? So the student loan sector saw the issuance decline during the financial crisis, but the total amount outstanding basically stabilized the, you know, what they call the rates, right? So a lot of people are taking out student loans. So student loans are assets, and they're backed by securities, which is a promissory note that was securitized, you see. So anytime that you want to create a security or a promissory note, it has to be securitized. Both people got to sign it, right, in wet ink in front of a notary, okay? And then it can be collateralized at a later point in time if that's needed, right? But most of them hold it, and they put interest on it. Okay, so you got, you know, federal loans or the FFELP loans, right? The federal guaranteed loans, right? And those are originated by the lender, which could be a bank or insurance company or a state agency, okay, or not for profit, believe it or not. Okay, so these are government guaranteed student loans. So even your Stafford loans, your PLUS loans, right? Those are all essentially what they call subsidized, right, or consolidated loans, okay? So a student status, right, in the school repayment life cycle is key in determining the loan of the asset-backed security, right? So if you tell them, all right, I'm going to go to grad school, they say, okay, well, we're going to give you $10,000 a semester. You're going to go to grad school for 3 years, right? So typically it's going to be about $60,000, right? And then they'll pack a little interest on it. So that's where your government guaranteed student loans come from. Then you have the private student loans, right? So the federal government has replaced a lot of loans with direct lending from the government. So this is where, I don't know if y'all remember, like Sallie Mae, you know, and Freddie Mac and all of them student loan people who were giving out, even Chase, people who was giving out student loans, a lot of them were operating in the asset-backed security market, right? That's why they was giving out loans with no problem, right? Because they saw it as a good investment, right? So whether you finished school or not, the investment was already made. They made the investment in you. They gave you the security, okay? And then, you know, your hinges are bet on, let me find a good job when I come out of school. And hopefully all this shit gets paid off, right? They like, well, it don't matter to us. We're going to get paid regardless because they did securitization, which is a process where the cash flows from the financial interest and the principal, right? And then it's used to pay back payments on securities that are sold to the investors. So you technically are investing when you go to school, right, in your own security. Okay. So then you have assets, right? So the assets are, you know, essentially securitized, which are primarily loans and leases. So the loan is technically considered an asset, which they securitize, right? But there are receivables, you have financial obligations, you got account receivables, you got utility charges, like I talked about before, right? All of that shit, okay? So securitizations are usually structured as bankruptcy remote vehicles is what they call them, right? And these isolate the assets from a potential bankruptcy, right, for the originator. So basically, when you see them write shit off, they either wrote the shit off because they went into bankruptcy, right, or they sold it to a junk buyer so they wouldn't have to go into bankruptcy. You understand? So credit enhancement in the form of over-collateralization, as they call it, is an excess spread of basically reserve accounts, right, which may be used for a combination of multiple things, right? They can protect investors, do write-downs on the bonds, all that type of stuff, right? Your credit cards, remember, your credit cards are also securitized, right? It's where you get your secured cards from, and unsecured cards, right? Both forms of them, technically, when you put money in an account, right, if it's not, if it's secured, right, well, let's just say you put some money on a card, right, and they give you a $500 balance, but that's based on your own credit. See, that's why they allow you to build credit. Okay. All right, so, I mean, there's a lot to this. We ain't going to get through all of this in one show, but I just wanted to go through some of these things for y'all. Now, when we talk about servicers and debt servicers and stuff like that, it's important to know that a lot of stuff is done under the trustee, okay? And it deals with, you know, so trust law in most countries, right, it basically compels a copy of a deed of trust to be delivered to the beneficiaries. So, right, I have a deed of trust for my own trust because I'm beneficiary, right? So, you know, I'm going to receive that money, and I'm also going to be a trustee, right? And if you look at the duties, as long as there's more than one, you can fulfill those roles. So, a standard clause that brings the trust into existence is the trustee. So unlike a corporation, the trust is not an entity. It is simply the trust that is reposed, as you say, in respect to the property that's being held by the trustee. So you ask yourself, well, what property is being held by the trustee? All right. So a lot of times that could be a security. It could be some type of collateral obligation. Right. But if it's not securitized, then most times it's worth nothing. Now, as in the case of receivables, right, when we talk about property, okay, very carefully, the definition of property, right, is required for trust property. So you need to know what property is when we talk about trust property. So, see, trust property is the subject matter of the trust. So essentially, the trust property will consist of the receivables that are transferred by way of a sale, right, the benefits that arise out of the collateral agreement, right, the credit enhancement, the reinvestment of the cash flow that arises, and then it deals with accreditation, right, which basically No, it's where your AAA and all that shit comes from. So in addition to physical property that's acquired by foreclosure, this is where your security agreements come in. This is why it's important to have security agreements. So, see, this is why I tell people, you got to take your time with a lot of this shit because there's so many layers to this. And when you're dealing with banking, right, banking on the public side or private side, right, when you're dealing with instruments, you need to know what you're doing. Now, trust property can include, just so y'all know, it can include the initial corpus of the trust. It can include any amount that's paid by the beneficiaries for acquisition of a beneficial interest in the trust to the extent that the same has not been invested in acquiring receivables, okay, which means that, you know, if you're a beneficiary, right, okay, there has to be some type of beneficial interest. So think of your birth certificate, right? Think of your cars. Hell, think of your credit cards. So then there's the receivables that are listed in the schedule, right, to the pooling service agreement. So when we're talking about, trust and deeds of trust, you need to have some type of receivables that are listed in the pooling agreement or the service agreement. Okay, there's got to be what they call a cutoff date. Okay? Then there's the physical asset or interest therein where other assets are acquired as a result of enforcement of a security interest, which are created in respect of the receivables. Okay, so think about your birth certificate again. The United States gives you full faith and credit. So as a beneficiary, right, of what they call the Suffolk KV Trust, okay, you're given full faith and credit to move around, right? So just understanding that, you know, you should understand that, you know, when people are trying to pull down money and they're trying to do a Treasury direct account and all this shit, a lot of times it doesn't work for you because you're not understanding that this system is not based on money. It's based on credit. The Federal Reserve notes is just a supplement for that, right? That's why they created a credit system. Why do you think people be doing that old Rob Peter to pay Paul? They'll take one credit card and pay off another credit card. It's a credit-based system. I've seen people do it over and over. Okay. So any amount lying in or deposited in any of the accounts in which payments to the trust are to be made or from the payments to the beneficiaries are to be made are supposed to be put in your deed of trust. Any insurance policies with respect to the origination or the agreements are supposed to be signed by all parties in front of a notary and put into the deed of trust. Okay? Then you have all proceeds of the actual conversion, the voluntary or the involuntary of any of the foregoing into cash for liquid property. You see, so don't think when you sign a student loan, they didn't put that into some form of a trust or into the deed of trust, okay? And then there's the issuance of certificates. So the trustee in any trust, right, will oblige himself to issue certificates that evidence the beneficial interest to the investors. So, like, for instance, I've issued certificates to myself and my trustees within my trust, right, which evidence some type of beneficial interest, okay? So most likely, there will be various classes of certificates, each having well-defined rights. So the right of the various classes to trust property and then to the payments by the trust that can be set up into clauses that deal with your rights and the certificate holder's rights, okay? So the clause normally provides that the issue of the actual certificates themselves, right, the trustee certificates, are under the hands of each trustee and should be deemed to be the evidence of the beneficial interest of the holder. So who is the holder in due course? So when you have your birth certificate, your authenticated birth certificate, who's the holder of that thing? Why do you think you're supposed to do an authenticated birth certificate? Okay. So any provision that relates to any depository for certificates, for issuance of transfer of a certificate, the maintenance of a registered certificate holder, the issue of duplicate certificates, the transmission of certificates, all of these got to be provided for where? In your deed of trust. Okay? So when we talk about cash flow is in there too. Okay? The duties of the trustee. Okay? That's got to be set out in there too, right? Which indemnites of the trustee. Okay, so normally when we talk about securitization and you talk about bonds, securitization transactions are serviced by independent trustees who are paid a trusteeship fee for acting in that particular space. Okay, so the trustee does not assume any liability for the payments due to the investors except on the account of gross negligence. So trust law under Anglo-Saxon jurisdictions, right, has existed for as long as you can count, right? But it's much older than the concept of a corporation. So trustees' duties are elaborately set out in trust law. Most of these hold basic securitization laws as well, right? So your trustees' duties are always going to be within the documentation for securitization. Okay? So this is why it's so important to understand what trust law is, okay? Because when you're dealing with pass-through certificates and all of these type of things, and if you need help with some of this stuff, you can always reach out to me. I'm willing to help people. But I mean, this is technical shit, and it's really not stuff that if you don't understand it, you shouldn't just dive right into it, right? Take your time with this stuff. Understand it. Understand what the ramifications are when you're dealing with operational issues and securitization. It's just what it is. It's an operational risk in securitization transactions. Okay? And a lot of times people don't want to take those risks, so you got to take your time with this shit. All right. Now, the full faith and credit clause is one thing, but then there's the Full Faith and Credit Act. Right, and this is, like I said, anytime you're dealing with discharge and debt, right, the birth certificate is under full faith and credit, okay? So the government has an obligation to pay debts down. So, and I'll just read a little bit of this to you, right? And so this is a congressional record. It was done under the 113th Congress, okay? And this is how I read. It says that the Committee on Ways and Means, to whom was referred the bill, to require that the government prioritize all obligations on the debt held by the public in the event that the debt limit is reached, having considered the same report favorably thereon with an amendment to recommend that the bill as amended pass. So in general, in the event that the debt of the United States government as defined in Section 3101 of Title 31, United States Code, reaches the statutory limit, the Secretary of Treasury shall, in addition to any other authority provided by law, issue obligations under Chapter 31 of Title 31. Okay, so when they talk about obligations, they're talking about debt obligations. So the United States Code, right, is put in place for that reason, right? And this deals to pay with legal tender and solely for the purpose of paying the principal and the interest on obligations of the United States described in subsection B. So obligations described for the purpose of this subsection, obligations described in this subsection are obligations which are, one, held by the public, or two, held by the Old Age and Survivors Insurance Trust Fund and Disability Trust Fund. So, you see, they got a trust set up, right? So you got the public trust, and then you have a Survivors Insurance Trust. So they're doing everything under insurance, right? Now, obligations exempt from public debt limit, obligations issued under subsection A shall not be taken into account in applying the limitation in Section 3101 of the United States Code. In general, after the date of the enactment of this act, the Secretary of the Treasury exercises his authority under subsection A. The Secretary shall thereafter submit a report each week, provide an accounting related to the principal on mature obligations and interest that is due or accrued. So, see, even the United States is accruing interest, okay, on the debt clock, okay, or obligations that are issued pursuant to subsection A. Okay. So the purpose of this particular record, right, says that an order reported by the Committee on Ways and Means to require the Secretary of the Department of Treasury to issue new debt when the statutory debt is reached to pay the principal and the interest on debt held by the public and to provide Treasury access to Social Security trust funds, notwithstanding the debt limit. In addition, the legislation requires the Secretary to submit to Congress a weekly accounting of the principal on mature obligations and interest that is due, accrued, and any obligations issued pursuant to the new authority. So the consequences of the United States government failing to make timely and complete payment on Treasury debt, that is, a default, could be severe. A default could push the country back into a recession, which would worsen our debt problem, hinder an already stagnant economic recovery, and threaten our ability to make any payment we owe. The legislation removes the risk of default by providing a mechanism to ensure that principal and interest on debt obligations are paid. Furthermore, it defines the interest so Treasury can and must make the interest payments necessary to ensure that Social Security benefits can be paid in full. Okay? So the present law, the Constitution, grants Congress's sole authority over fiscal powers to tax, spend, and borrow. So the Congress has the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts that provide for the common defense and welfare of the United States, basically to borrow money on credit of the United States. Okay, so Congress exercises its borrowing authority by placing restrictions on public debt. Until World War I, Congress typically authorized limited amounts of debt with defined maturity and redemption terms, so for specific projects, right? So upon America's entry into World War I, Congress passed the Second Liberty Bond Act of 1917. I suggest y'all take a look at that, right? Which is to ensure liquidity necessary to meet obligations as presented. So the act delegated control over day-to-day borrowing activity subject to various limitations on the executive branch. So in 1939, Congress enacted legislation creating the first aggregate debt limit, which was then $45 billion, which, you know, we way past that now, okay? I mean, this is a pretty long congressional record, but you need to take a look at all the earmarks in here, take a look at, you know, different programs, right, and what they put into this. This is congressional record, Full Faith and Credit Act. It was 113th Congress, first session, okay? And, I mean, it's important to understand this because, and it's 113 through 48, right? So you can see how the United States is even using its so-called debt obligations, right, to ensure, you know, that it can pay off its own debt if some shit happens, right? And they use insurance and insurance companies and, you know, they think of it like whole life insurance. The United States uses whole life insurance, right? So you start talking about private banking. Right. One of the main things that people talk about with private banking is whole life insurance, how a whole life insurance policy allows you to be your own banker, right? So you can do, you know, you can do banking, right? You can have indemnification. You can create securities. You can do asset-backed transactions, all that good stuff, all right? So it's a lot of information here. I'm going to take this into next week. Because, like I said, this, you know, sometimes this shit can be overwhelming. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll open up the call lines. If you want to holler at me, press 1. You can get in on the conversation. Go to makemorecommerce.com if you need to get a consultation with me. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Come experience life as we know it. As some of you should know it. Yeah, yeah. Place, Marcy, Brooklyn, action, well, y'all know the action. I got the shorty on my block, always clocking my rocks. He likes the style of profile, I think he want to mock. He likes the way I walk, he see my money talking. The honey talking, I'm the hottest nigga in New York. And I see his hunger pains, I know his blood boils. He wanna run with me, I know this kid'll be loyal. I watched him make a few wins, the cop is little sneakers and gear. Then it's just enough for re-up again. I see myself in his eyes, I move from Levi's to guess of Versace. Now it's diamonds like Liberace, that's just a natural cycle. Nobody wanna be like Michael, where I'm from, just them niggas who bounce from a gun. We out here trying to make all white into cold green. I could help shorty blow out like Afro Sheen, plus I could relive my days of you, which is gone. That little nigga's peak, it's time to put him on.
And put my own weight up in my crown.
Got to lock it down, and when they rush,
in my crown.
It's time to come on.
Pick up my chest and make some loot.
Got to lock it down, and when they rush,
in my own loot.
I'm out here slinging, bringing the drama, trying to come up in the game and add a couple of dollar signs to my name. I'm out here serving, disturbing the peace. Life could be better like my man reclined in plush leather seats and selling weight. I'm selling 8, bull 16, trying to
graduate to push your quarters, y'all. I ain't gon' sweat him, I'ma let him come to me. If he give me the nod, then these niggas gon' see. I'm tired of vegan out here round the clock and breaking dates and chasing crackers up the block for my pay. I'm staying fresh, so chickens check. I'm trying to step up to the next level, pushing vets through the jets. Diamonds reflect from the sun directly in your equilibrium and stunned. I'm waiting for my day to come. I got the urge to splurge. I don't want a lifetime sentence, just give me the word.
It's time to come up
and hold my own weight up in my crown.
Cops to lock it down and when they rush
in my crown.
It's time to come up
and stick up my chest and make some loot.
Cops to lock it down and when they rush
in on my own too.
Hey fella, I've been watching you clocking.
Who me holding down this block? It ain't nothing. You the man, nigga, now stop frontin'.
Haha, I like your style.
Nah, I like your style.
Let's drive around a while.
Cool, nigga.
Here's a fact.
A G, I ride with you for free. I want the long-term riches and bitches.
Listen to me. You let them other niggas get the name. Skip the fame. 10,000 or 100G, keep your shit the same.
On the low?
Yeah, the only way to blow. You let your shit bubble quietly.
And then you blow.
Hey, keep it cool. The only way to people fool is let them show his hands and you play your card.
Then he's due dealing, I understand.
Don't blow your dough on hotties.
The only thing I got in this world is my word and my nuts. It won't break up for nobody.
I like your resume. Pick a day, you can start.
From now until death, do what's fun, nigga.
It's time to come up
and hold my own weight up in my crown.
Got to lock it down and when they rush
in my crown.
It's time to come up
and stick up my chest and make some loot.
Got to lock it down and when they rush
in on my own.
It's time to come up
and hold my own weight up in my crown.
Got to lock it down and when they rush
in my crown.
It's time to come up
and stick up my chest and make some loot.
Got to lock it down and when they rush
in on my own too.
All right, we back. Let's go to the call lines. If you want to holler at me, press 1. Go to makemorecommerce.com. If you want to get with me, set up a consultation. You can pick up the child support webinar. It's available now. Child support webinar was done a couple weeks ago. It does come with documents, so you can get that if you need to get your hands on that. Got some questions there. And like I said, we got a webinar coming up real soon. That's going to be on May the 22nd, which is a Saturday. All right, we're going to be going over court procedures, and we're going to be going over constitutional challenges. So look forward to having y'all on that webinar if you want to get in the holler at me. All right, we'll open up the call lines now. Let's go to 757. Oh, all right, well, they ain't on the line no more. All right, so call lines is open, man. Ain't nobody got their hands up. So if y'all want to holler at me, it's a good time. If not, y'all know I don't got to stick around. All right. Let me make a couple other quick announcements. We're working on some upcoming seminars coming up, so I have some dates for y'all on that. All right, so y'all know when to catch those. Other than that, man, go back and check out the information tonight. Right. Hopefully, y'all can find some use. Part 2 next week, show you how to use some of these particular instruments, right? Show you some first steps to it. Y'all know me, I like to give you the information first, right? Give you a little foundation. So next week we'll do part 2 to securities and bonds. All right. And I'm going to say peace to the gods. Let's go to 610-427 on the line.
Peace to the God, my brother. Peace to the God.
610-427 on the line. Can you hear me?
Yeah, peace to the gods. Sorry about that.
What up? Peace to the gods.
Peace, God. Yeah, man, dope show, man. So this is deep, man.
Definitely appreciate it.
I got a question, man. So
okay, go ahead. I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Cause it's deep, man. You know.
Yeah.
I'm following along with the Weiss. You know, with the Weiss. Instructions and following along with the webinars, and then you just dropped that tonight. That's interesting. very interesting.
Yeah, well, it is interesting because, I mean, I think a lot of us still fail to realize that, you know, I mean, the birth certificate is, it's a security. That's why the Social Security number is a security, right? And they give you the full faith and credit to use that thing, you know, when you want to do shit like get a job and operate in commerce and shit like that. Right? You can't. See, the thing is Social Security number was never yours, so technically you can't cancel it, right? So then it becomes something completely different when you say, hey, look, I'm not the number, because it doesn't belong to me, because which it does. You know, the birth certificate does. It's got your name on it. Social Security number is just a card. Matter of fact, they tell you that the Social Security number don't belong to you. They tell you that on the card.
Yeah, they do tell you that on the card.
It tells you that shit on the card. What that birth certificate belongs to you. And that's where your full faith and credit really lies. Right? But niggas be trying to cash in their birth certificate. I ain't cashing their shit. I'm going to use credit.
Yeah, you keep it. Right? You keep it. Forever.
You keep it.
And you use it over and over.
You use it over and over. That's full faith and credit. You know? And like I said, that's not something that's supposed to be taken away from a sovereign entity. So each entity is supposed to retain its credit, right? That's why a lot of people be rushing to get the birth certificate. I've been thinking they're going to get a pound of money at the end of the rainbow. It ain't even about that. It's understanding that it deals with the sovereign.
Yeah, it's about the concept of it being mine.
Yep.
And exploring that and just keeping the property so that no one else can trespass on it, like that type of aspect, right?
Yeah, that's proper. That's proper. That's why I always say it's not really a good idea to be trying to handle somebody else's birth certificate if you ain't figured out how to handle yours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, just like go slow, right? And just use the simple ways, like, I sent it off a certified copy, black and white, when I was doing a third-party debt collector letter, you know, just to show them that I was the owner and, you know, the holder and things like that, just to back up, you know, just to show I got full faith and credit for different things.
Yeah.
Or when you want to use it in a court case to show that you...
Yeah, exactly. Because remember, they consider the straw man to be insolvent, to be in bankruptcy. Straw man ain't got no money. So the executor of the estate, right, or the trustee has to step forward and be able to use that instrument.
And again, keeping it simple, you can use yourself as the executor to start out when you're just getting your start going.
Yep.
Until you can find somebody suitable, right?
Yeah. You can't. See, people fail to realize that there's people who set up estate long before they pass. People who are sick, you know, people who got mental issues, all types of people set up estates, you know. Hell, if you're setting up a trust, that's considered basically setting up an estate.
That's interesting. Because that was where my question lied about the estate, Joey. Like, the estate, when you get your new number, I know you weren't the one that dropped it, but I should ask. I should call Monday. I should call tomorrow. But,
Say it one more time.
When you get the new number, I know I should ask, but, like, I just wanted to throw it out there. You know, just I'm going to ask Jonah. I know that, but I'm gonna just throw it out there tonight, but I'm going to ask Jonah, too. But, Joey, check it. The estate, right, the estate number, what happens to that number when you use the new 9-8 number, you know? Do you stop using that, or do you just use that too? You know what I mean? Because you build credit up on that.
Credit again. You can't build credit on a 9-8 number, so you got to ask that again.
you know, like the new, say there's a 9-8 number that Jonah taught to get online. You know, you can just go right online and get it.
That's not a 9-8.
And it's the trust number. It's the trust. Well, let me. I try this. You're right. It is. You're right.
It's a trust.
You're trying to explain it.
And so let's be specific on that. It's a trust, and it can be considered
foreign, number,
depending upon. Yeah, it is a trust number, and it can be considered foreign depending on how you set it up. But you can build credit with that. Yeah, you can build credit with that. You can't build credit with a 9-8 number because of the type of entity that it is.
Correct. That's how. Okay. That's
because
how
I'm where,
like trying to explain.
Yeah, because of where it's set up, you can't get credit with it. This is a K trust is what the straw man is, technically, right? With your all capital letters 9, right? So that basically signifies that there's a beneficiary of an estate that's held in trust, right? So he for who to benefit another person is as they call in fief. Or ceased, right? So basically, he talks about personal property. So when you're dealing with a trust that's not a 9-8 trust, right? It's considered technically either a domestic trust or a foreign trust. But you can have foreign trusts that sit over here domestically that can operate credit, and it can deal with the Cessicate Trust, or it can deal with the estate. So when you see the Social Security Trust and all of that stuff set up, that stuff is set up to be able to deal with the estate. So they already consider you to be deceased, right? Or I hate that word. They already consider you to be incapacitated, let's say that, from birth, right?
Right. Yeah, when you have retired that number, it ain't.
When that number is retired, any funds or labor units or securities that's under that number is supposed to go to who? The beneficiary. And the beneficiary, okay, is the person whose name that shit is in.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Now, using that number, ain't.
Yeah, if you stop using that number, yeah, you're supposed to get all of the benefits of where that number basically has derived its securities and you know anything that's under that number, you're supposed to get all the benefits of that. The benefits don't stop.
Yeah. Right? So what happens
to
if I had an estate?
All that money must come to you.
So my estate number. I was building credit in that before, but now I got this number.
Well, you're supposed to keep building credit.
What
with
do
your
I do with
number.
My
credit?
Credit
with that number.
All right.
See,
all right
see,
now,
see,
what if I was working
is,
under that?
That's the thing about that. They want to tax.
And now I'm switching it to that number.
Yeah, under the Social Security Administration, they want to get taxed under that number. See, I want you to look at it like this, right? The Cessicate Trust for the straw man technically already is an estate number. So the Social Security number really, in all due right, is an estate number. Right? And it's an estate that they let you operate from birth, by giving you that number, and you build credit over it. See, think about this, right? When they give you a social, how many people you know in the hood whose mama used their social security number to put the lights on in their name, or the gas? You don't even be 18 years old. Your mama using your social security number for lights. Okay.
Oh, they can do that? I thought that was illegal and stuff.
I've seen it happen. I mean, that parent is the guardian. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen many times to people. No, I remember growing up and having friends whose parents did that shit. You know, but my point is that there's nothing illegal about building credit for that particular entity before it's 18, before it's of the age of majority.
Okay, so I don't got to switch nothing over or nothing like that. I just keep building both of them up. And that's it.
You can build both of them. Yeah, you can build both of them. I mean, I know people who've had babies, and they don't want a social for their child. So what they do is they go get an estate number for that kid. Excuse me, not an estate number.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, that's cool. That's less work.
I mean, it gets a little funny.
Keep building them up.
I mean, but I think that, you know, if you look at it holistically from the perspective of, you know, that number is tied into a trust. The social's tied into a trust. I mean, you got your trust, right? And that's technically why the 8832 and all of that's supposed to be done.
That's a nice step right there.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of puts everything in line and let, you know, everybody hold up now. I did an 8832, didn't I? So,
they make a lot of sense, you know what I'm saying? When you look at how they got the system set up, you look at bonding and collateralizing, securitization, all of that's tied into those numbers, right, which is tied into credit. That's why I said, I mean, if you look at the Full Faith and Credit Act, they give you full credit. They make you rich from birth. Everybody's trying to get rich. You're already rich. You rich on credit. You know, then the real question is how come you haven't collateralized into some gold or some silver or something like that, which you used to be able to do at one point in time, but they don't make it as known that you can go into a Federal Reserve Bank and get gold or silver, get what they call lawful money.
Got to be grounded, ain't got to know how to do it from the ancient.
Yeah,
got to be taught
by
somebody.
Yeah, because I mean, lawful money's, you know, it exists. And my cousin asked me last week, you know, how he can get some silver to be sovereign. You know, I just kind of laughed. I'm like, well, that's, you know, that's one aspect to being sovereign, but it ain't all that. You know.
Thanks, man. That was a deep one right there. That question just could go in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because I mean, sovereignty starts in the mind, first of all, you know, knowing who you are, and then it deals with, you know, how you move, you know, in terms of your actions and things like that, you know, how private you are. So, I mean, it's very much one of those things where, you gotta understand the rules to the game, like they say.
Well, every action you do, you know, it takes paperwork. It takes work, because like everything that you want to do, you gotta do the steps, which is either like, you know, 8832,
exactly.
You know, minutes, record them, and you know you got to do each step each time for everything. So like. Yeah, that's why I was asking that question, because I wanted to know if I had to do all that stuff for
this. Yeah, well, even talking about
these numbers.
Even dealing with the aspect of the promissory note, you know, from that aspect of it, you know, it still needs to be put into the trust, right? It still has to be collateralized, through your security agreement, and then you still got to get it securitized. Right, and truthfully, if you know, it's like a student loan. I mean, that's what they do with student loans. The whole process of it, you know, and that's why a lot of student loans really ain't no good, right? And they got to write them off because who signed it? One party, only one party signed it. Normally, this is you signing that motherfucker in front of a student loan officer, right? The student loan officer ain't signing off on your student loan. You see what I'm saying? So that collateralized debt obligation becomes null and void, even though it was securitized. But they gonna make money off of it because people don't know no better. No. And that's not their fault. If you don't know, if they say ignorance of the law is no excuse.
That's no excuse. Yeah. As long as you can't catch them, they gonna keep doing it.
Yeah. Well. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it equitable.
No. Yeah, that's like a different subject, right? Like, if it's right or wrong,
Now you you diving in the realm of morality and shit like that, but
yeah,
you know, when we're talking about but when you're talking about actually, you know, I mean, it's a credit card, right? Even exchange, fair exchange. You know, they give you a credit card, you know what I'm saying, to use, so they extend credit to you based on your own credit. So y'all really are giving each other credit. They just securitizing your credit for you based on that signature of yours.
And like, the person believes that they got some.
Yeah, because you're not your own bank and you're not your own insurance agency, so you don't know.
Yeah.
Tell them to lay off them blunts back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just that's my take on it. It is a rather difficult subject for a lot of people to fully grasp because there's so much to it. But I guarantee you that when people begin to really dive into this and research it, it becomes more clear. You know?
Well, take me slow through it. Like, take me slow for it. Like, you know, Bonds for Dummies. I'm reading the Weiss, right? And it tells you, like, issuing certificates and bonds. Now, this is simple because this is just, if you got some property, how you issue the certificates for your beneficiaries for that property, correct?
Well, simple. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going through the Weiss Trust Manual, right, it talks about issuing certificates. When you issue your certificates, right, they have to be issued to the beneficiaries. It can even be issued to a trustee if that's who you're issuing it to. But it needs to be issued, and then basically, like I said, it's got to show the issuing date. It's got to show, you know, the collateral. It's got to show the property. It's got to show all of that, right? And this is what I'm saying, right? Like, one of the things that I've noticed that people are doing is they're trying to bond each other up, right? That you can't do that. Listen. Yeah. The United States does it for commerce to keep the commerce going, but they give you access to the credit, right? So when people try to do that shit to each other, where's the credit? Where's the even exchange at?
Those are debtors. Those people don't have their own structures and things to do. They don't collateralize. They don't securitize debt.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? People don't securitize debt, but they give you something in exchange for your full faith and credit, which is some form of credit, which is really your own credit. But what they're doing is they're allowing you access to your own credit. You can't, and that's what I'm saying, the whole secure party creditor and all that shit, like, people really get it twisted. You're not trying to access money. What you're really trying to get access to is credit, right? And I understand the aspect of going into equity court and suing, because then you get control of the securities to put into your trust. But you can only control your own securities, not nobody else's.
Right. It has to be your property to control anything. You got to do the steps involved.
It got to be your property and your name. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I'm saying? Look, listen. Equity says what should be done is, what should have been done is thought to have been done. So, you know, if you created the trust, but you didn't put the security agreement there, well, in equity, it's considered that there is a security agreement between you and your trustees.
Dope.
So, you still need to do a security agreement, but the property aspect of it remains intact. That's why I said we start getting into these conversations. I understand that, you know, some people use this information for whatever they use it for, but you have to stay honorable when you're doing this type of shit. You know?
That's right. And that's right from the cheat sheet. I was looking at that. I saw that is yes. It's like the opposite in at-law stuff. Like, they assume you the opposite. That equity gives you that leniency where the outlaw courts do not.
Yeah, equity expects you to have clean hands and operate in good faith. Right, and what they say, they call it being a prudent person. So you got to be prudent in all your actions. It's the law. It's called the prudent person law.
Well, I like that because, like, to me, and what you're describing and what I was reading in that role right there, what it came to mind to me is that if you're not done with your whole process, but you're working towards getting done with your process, they're not going to hammer you for not being at the end of finish line when they see you getting through each step incrementally.
Yeah, well,
and see that's the direction that you're going.
It's a marathon. Ain't no race. This shit's a marathon for real though. Yeah, this a real marathon. You know, you really supposed to take your time with this shit. You know, and do stuff correctly. That's why, personally, I don't rush through shit. I take, and everybody know me. I take my time for shit because I like shit to be done correctly. Yeah. Tortoise in the hair, man. Tortoise won the race. The hair slept on the tortoise. Literally.
He went to sleep.
Yeah.
And that's dope.
Yeah. So, like I said, man, it's just one of the things where this information, even this show, people got to go back and listen to what I dropped so you can get a full understanding of it, you know. And I'm going to do a part two to this. You know, we'll go into more stuff because, I mean, I got a ton of information on this stuff, you know, and I've dealt with this, you know, personally, you know, on the private side. So I can tell you, you know, it's a dirty game when you get out there, you know, and people think that, you know, they're going to get some money on an international level. The best way to go about that is to not put yourself in the pool. You know, fund an organization, create a bank if you want to get into securities, you know. Create your own bank and then you can fund your own stuff, you know. You know, and you can securitize your own paper and stuff like that. You know, there's different types of banks. You got commercial banks, you got private banks, you know. So there's ways to go about doing this.
Yeah.
But you got to have due diligence.
Take your time.
You got to do stuff, you know, in honor, you know, and be stand up about it. Because, you know, this Rule 144A, right, and I'll put it up here, but Rule 144A is one of the staples of what we're dealing with. Specifically because of the fact that it deals with the issuance of private securities.
Okay.
Right. So, I mean, you know, you want to talk about, you know, issuing securities and dealing with your own property, you got to deal with 144A. And that's where the private banking and all that comes in at.
The private security selling them in between private parties, between yourselves.
Yeah.
Your private contracts.
Yeah, exactly.
Just simple things between each other. You know, I'm going to mow your lawn, man, for, you know, $300. You're going to give me $300 a month to mow your lawn.
That's an obligation. I mean, so
contract,
here's the thing, right?
22.
Yeah, so 144A, person's deemed, let me pull it up here, all right? Let's just say, all right. So Rule 144 provides for an exemption and permits the public resale of restricted, hold on a second, that's the wrong one. Let me pull up 144A, okay? All right. So 144A is a safe harbor exemption from registration requirements of Section 5 of the Securities Act for certain offers and sales qualifying securities by certain persons other than the issuer of securities. It deals with private resale of securities to institutions. So it says the section relates solely to the application of Section 5 of the Act. Attempted compliance with this section does not act as exclusive of any seller here under. And then, I mean, if you read it, the whole thing deals with selling privately, right? But any insurance company, basically, right? Any of the following entities acting for its own account or accounts of other qualified institutional buyers, that is, in aggregate owns and invests on a discretionary basis at least $100 million in securities of issuers that are not affiliated with the entity. Okay, an investment company, a small business investment company, any plan or maintained by a state or established, political subdivisions, okay, instrumentalities of a state or its political subdivisions. See, now, when we talk about political subdivisions, that's also known as bodies politic. That also deals with your trust, it deals with tribes, it deals with all of that.
Okay. Okay. So then
that's why niggas is mad when I started to try. You know? Because I understand how this shit works, right? And I get it. I've been dealing with that shit. Right? Motherfuckers who, and I'm not ashamed to say it, motherfuckers scammed me out of money. Right? A couple years ago. I lost money 2-3 times. Right? Because I put my faith in the wrong people, thinking that I was going to get to a bag. Realizing now, okay, a lot of this can be done on your own trust, right? You don't have to deal with people who are going to be scamming you, because all the rules are laid out. You just create your own financial institution or operate into a body politic. Why do you think Jewish people have their own police departments and their own fire departments? In their own communities in certain parts of New York, right? Their body politics. So with being a body politic, I mean, they can do municipal bonds. They can do their own bond.
These agencies, you know, though, are there to be the middlemen, though, right? The fiduciaries to see those things through, correct?
Who?
These agencies. Who? They're there, and
That's why you got regulatory agencies to make sure that niggas ain't out here fucking up, right?
Well, not that. Say in a perfect world, nobody was out here fucking up, and everybody was on the up and up, and those agencies are out there to see those things through, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, in a perfect world, absolutely.
For
instance, anything that I personally, right, would have invested in, right, was done under 144A on the private side, right? But if you don't know all the rules to the private side, and you don't know everybody, and the people that you invested with don't know the rules to the private side, right, then you can easily lose an investment, right? And then the paper never gets created. So this is why there's rules to creating paper. It's a pretty strategic game.
Yeah,
but it's well worth it. It's well worth it when you take It's well worth it when you take time to study it. You know, and I would even recommend that some people, you know, if you're still in the public, you might want to get a securities license if you don't plan to go private. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting a securities license. You know, because then you are, you have the ability to deal with securities. So do you get a series six, series seven license? Right. If I'm not mistaken, I think Series 6 deals with life insurance and other types of insurance, and the Series 7 deals with the actual securities.
Wow. Okay. Boy, this is expensive. Definitely expensive.
Yeah. Like I said, next week we'll dive into it, man, and keep digging on it. It's just education.
Okay. So you said that to read the So you were saying to read the congressional record, Joey?
Yeah, read the congressional record. Poor Faith and Credit Act. That's the Poor Faith and Credit Act. So you got the Poor Faith and Credit clause under the Constitution. And then you have the congressional record that was done, the Poor Faith and Credit Act.
Okay.
Which I would recommend that people take time to read. And that's
all right.
It's a House Resolution 807, Session 1, 113th Congress.
Okay. Thank you. I got one quick question for you, and then I'm going to let you go.
Yes.
All right. So, like, you know, when you on our trusts, when you get the foreign trustee involved, Joey, your trust was a little different. I got somebody else as my trustee that started out, and then after that's my foreign trustee. What happens to your original trustee that starts out? Do they still stay a trustee, or do you put them, you know?
Well, that's up to you. That's why you have a trust protector. The trust protector deals with that. So if you want to get rid of that person, you can do that in the trust protect you can do that in the actual situs of the trust. Like, you can change it, or you can leave that person the same. You know, it's up to you.
You can leave them the same, and it's still lawful? Because I was trying to find that in the laws. I was looking at it.
Of course.
And I was okay. You just keep them there, and then you got your farm.
But,
and then you got it. It's complete now.
Well, as long as they are prudent trustees. And prudent, once again, goes back to them doing all of the duties and shit like that. So if they're not, you can fire their ass and you put it into the trust. I've had to fire a trustee before.
Yeah, okay.
You know. So, I mean, if it needs to be done, you do it. Now, obviously, it depends on, you know, if you ain't paying them that much money, they ain't doing that much stuff, it ain't that big of a deal to fire them and get rid of them. You know, but, you know, because...
You know, and you can keep them at...
$10 a month to pay the light bill, you know what I'm saying? Or to pay the car note, whatever it is.
Okay. And then they can just do ministerial stuff, right?
Yeah, ministerial duties.
Just the ministerial. Okay. Okay. Oh, man, that's good. That's good. Oh, that's great. I thank you, brother. Always a pleasure, brother. And I love the show.
Likewise.
Love.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it, bro. I'm honored. Thank you.
Yes, man. Please. I appreciate that. Love studying.
All right, peace to God.
Peace to the God.
Peace to the God. All right, let's go to 757-412. You on the line? 757, you on the line? Nope. All right. All right, that's all I call. So, nobody else got their hands up. But I appreciate the brothers for calling in. Definitely a good conversation. We'll keep this up next week. Remember, I got a webinar coming up on court procedures and how to use them, constitutional challenges and how to use your constitution in your state. All right, we'll go through, hopefully, depending on how many people I got on there, I'll try to go through each person's constitution and break down how to use it. All right, so you can register for that on makemorecommerce.com. Look forward to having y'all on. All right, if you got any business with me, anything like that, make sure you get with me. We got a consultation. Make sure you get with me this week. Got a pretty open schedule. I can get with people. All right. With that being said, I'm going to say peace to the gods. And I'll holler at y'all next week. Peace.
The mighty set. Santana, what's up? More like a movement you need to be in tune with. Killer the Dawn, what's good?
Crack music.
Big difference from the cops and the feds.
Check that out.
A big difference from the dawn and drop head.
About 100,000.
I told them use it as my casket if I drop dead.
Clean.
Money, power, respect is what the lock said.
You
showed a lot of locker, respect is what the cops said.
Fuck the cops.
Paparazzi flicks on the 6-pack.
Click, click, click.
Grammy bunch with the 40s by the ribcage.
That's Jeff.
With my jacks, we want to be this like Big Dave.
All
Been buying roadies since the kid's age.
My ninth one.
4, 5, 6, top in the 7 series.
Bankstop.
With drop top shit, I can see having clearly.
Pray for me.
Try to put them on the game, but they never hear me.
Stupid.
Maybe it's Texas, the closest that you're getting near me. Shit, cause life is so ferocious that it's getting scary. It's hard to stay focused, my eyes are getting teary.
Optimus, what up, nigga?
Diplomatic community.
Hey, yo, Capo, what up, man? Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
After I fuck, all these girls wanna spoon with me. Come get in tune with me. I'm shining like the sun, and girl, you looking like the moon to
yes,
me.
You are.
Your man a goon, he's scared to be in the room with
that's
me.
Fact.
That's detrimental.
Sure is.
I don't deal with anything that's sentimental. Had cocaine in the rental.
Avis.
Nothing sweet, but all my sweets are presidential.
Yep.
Dead presidents, I'm done with residential.
Why's that?
What I mean, man, I bought my own zip code.
Oh.
Leave me alone, I go flip mode. Don't care if you black with a big nose, white with pink toes. Just how the shit goes, the kid with the sick flow. Jewelry, got Bruce Leroy slash Slick Rick glow. Fuck is you, Negro?
She was crazy.
Do you know what the fifth is?
Yes, Father, I know what the fifth is. The fifth is I refuse to answer on the grounds that I'm an incriminate.
The fifth commandment?
Thou shalt not kill.
That's right. Now I want you to tell me what happened.
No, Father. I'm not telling nobody nothing.
Don't be afraid, my son. Nobody's more powerful than God.
I don't know about that, Father. Your guy's bigger than my guy up there. But my guy's bigger than your guy down here.
Tune in every Sunday from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on The Bottom Line with Joey L. on the New Evolution Radio Network.